everyone. Welcome to this week's episode of RV Family Travel Atlas. I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Jeremy.
And we write about RV and family travel with our three boys, Theo, Max, and Wes.
You can read about our adventures at RVFamilyTravelAtlas.com, and you can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and Instagram.
On this week's episode of RV Family Travel Atlas, we are talking about the trend of fancy camping that is all the rage these days. Decked out vintage campers, cushioned outdoor seating, and sequined throw pillows are popping up more and more around campgrounds.
Plus, campsites with patio furniture, pavers, and decorative landscaping are increasing in popularity.
We are not such fancy campers ourselves, so we invited Kate Dunbar of Kate's Curious Kitchen to come on the show and give us the rundown on glamping. She has great tips on dressing up the inside and outside of your trailer, as well as making gourmet meals on the road.
And we are delighted to have Go RVing back as our RV FTA sponsor. Listen for a message from them just a bit later in our show. To find your way, head over to GoRVing.com/RVFTA.
We may set up a couple of camp chairs and call it a day, but if you want to elevate your campground style, then you are listening to the right show. This is episode 47, Fancy Camping with Kate Dunbar.
Before we head into this week's featured topic, Fancy Camping with Kate Dunbar, we have our RV FTA News Roundup. What news do you have?
All right, always have some important news. First off, important dates coming up for the fall. We said last week, just another announcement, we are going to be at the Hershey RV Show in September. That's September.
In an official capacity
right.
of some
like,
sort. We're not just going to be like,
shopping.
They're shopping. Though we'll be doing some of that, too.
Of course, because that's the best research ever, is to
oh my
go
gosh.
To those shows,
yeah.
And we walk around and get a lot of
so
ideas.
We'll tell you real soon where mm-hmm. we're going to be and what booth we're going to be at.
It's going to be a fun booth. And
it's going to be a actually, it could be the most fun booth at the whole show. I'm going to throw that out there.
I know it is. Looking at the stuff that they have going on.
So there's
there.
A big hint,
yeah.
Okay? But
super
we will be
fun.
There working with a partner. We just need to figure out all the final details. We'll give you that info as soon as we have it.
Yeah. So, and then we're also going to do some, obviously, like research going around, looking in the different RVs.
Yeah.
Wheels,
for some of our pros and cons of Class C's, Class A's, we're definitely
we got a lot of stuff coming up.
We're going to be doing, mm-hmm. you know, for us, an RV show is a chance to get some podcast mm-hmm. content too,
yeah.
right?
Yeah. And people's favorite kind of podcast content. They love those ones. That
everybody
we do.
Loves it when we start just talking rigs.
Yep,
yeah,
rigs.
Right?
All right.
So what do we have in October? We have to. Everyone's got to mark their calendars for October 23rd, Friday night the 23rd, Saturday night the 24th. And why do they need to do that?
Because it's an RV FTA
RV
rally.
FTA rally number two, our first
yes.
fall rally, our
mm-hmm.
second rally. And let me tell you, the first rally was a blast.
Yeah.
Universally, everyone had a great time at that
mm-hmm.
rally. And everyone's asked, let's do a fall rally.
Right.
And
we were on the fence.
I wasn't so much on the fence. I'm ready to rally. Okay. So we are going to be at the Philadelphia Westchester KOA and it's Friday, October 23rd, Saturday, October 24th. And I have a little description here off their website of what they're doing for mm-hmm. this. It's one of their fun Halloween weekends, which we did last year,
yeah,
right?
And we have a review of that holiday weekend from last year on the blog, if anybody wants
That's
to
right.
And
maybe we
it.
Could link to
mm-hmm.
it.
Yep.
Right. So here's a little description from the website. We're continuing the fall time fun with our second Halloween weekend. Hop on a glow hayride on Friday night, which we did last
yep.
year,
mm-hmm.
and it was fun. And then continue the spooktacular events on Saturday with pumpkin painting, trick or treat, and a fantastic dance party.
We went through it all.
We did all of it. And trick or treating at the campground mm-hmm. was awesome. It was really fun. We enjoyed it more than doing the trick or treating at home.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're coming to our rally with your kids, you can bring the costumes and they can get some more trick or treating in. And then what else? Oh, Men in Machine will be performing.
House band.
It's like sort of the Philadelphia Westchester yeah. KOA house band. Like we've seen live music at the Philadelphia
yeah.
Westchester KOA so many times, and it's always
it's
Men,
always
in, the
Men
Machine.
In the Machine. Yeah.
Somebody must be related there. But they're fun, and they do kind of classics
mm-hmm.
and Beatles
yes.
and Stones and 60s music.
They try to get
music.
Everybody like
They don't try.
No,
they
do.
Get everybody yeah. up there doing the hokey pokey
yeah.
and all that stuff. So please come out and join us for this rally. There are limited spaces.
Right. Because
okay?
these are busy weekends. So
these These are busy weekends that sell out at these KOAs.
If you want to come, you need to decide and book
You need
now.
To book it like now. Stop, right. Pause the podcast, okay,
pull
and book
car
it now.
Over.
All of the sites are reserved under my name, Jeremy Puglisi. That's just how they did it. So you need to call up and get it off of my name and put it in your name and let us know. Send us an email and say, hey, I'm coming to the rally. Mm-hmm. So we can keep a list and then they'll also keep a list. And we really mean it. There's not that many sites available. Mm-hmm. Okay. So if you want to come, get on it. Okay. Yeah.
So then another thing is one of our articles that just went up this week. I wanted to tell everybody because like I say, our poor sleepy blog, this is usually our busiest time of year on the blog, but we happen to be writing a book, our final deadline. Can we, is this our
Labor
final
Day.
Deadline?
Book is due on the 11:59 p.m.
Right.
The night before Labor Day. We kid you not. It's in a contract.
So.
Okay. So we're working hard. Yeah. We really are.
And as soon as that's all done, our blog is going to be like on fire
Great
content.
We're putting out a lot of content for other people.
Right.
And so, we have a great piece up on the Greater Outdoors blog for KOA. What is that article?
Yeah. So you guys might remember we've done a couple articles for them over the summer. Just different. Like,
rainy day activities.
Right. And then
building
I did
a campground craft kit.
Mm-hmm. So then this is the third in that sort of series that we did. And this is Family Fun Time, Outdoor Games and Activities. And it's just really simple tips for having fun with your kids at the campground that's like low maintenance.
Low to no
stress.
Cost. Low to no maintenance. Just go. You went old school on this one.
This isn't like going to Pinterest and getting all these materials and getting a hot glue gun.
These are actually games you can play and enjoy. Okay, this is not fantasy world here.
Yeah.
We keep it real.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So go over there and check that out on the Greater Outdoors blog. Okay?
Right.
And then I couldn't help. I have a iTunes review.
We have another iTunes. I love reading our iTunes reviews.
Yeah. Thank you guys so much for leaving them. And if you haven't left us a review and you want to journey on over to that and do that, we really appreciate it. And they're special.
And I'm going to stop and say, and I've said it before, we had a huge spike in listenership this past week, midweek. And we always think it's tied to getting a bunch of iTunes reviews. So if we get a bunch of iTunes reviews during any given day or two, it pushes us up the charts. And our little RV Family Travel Atlas podcast ended up in the top 40 this week for travel podcasts on iTunes.
Yeah.
Yeah, which was awesome. So, and it's somehow, it is tied to the reviews.
Yes,
so they're incredibly meaningful.
Our reviewers are very helpful in making that happen. But I'm not allowed to have favorite iTunes reviews because they're all my favorite when I read them. But this one's pretty sweet.
This one is pretty awesome.
Yeah, it's up there. So, because get this, it's called My Very First iTunes Review.
Aww.
And it's really special to think that somebody who had never left an iTunes review went on to leave
How
one
sweet.
For us. I know. It's like, aw. So this is by Boxy Colonial. And she wrote, I enjoy RV Family Travel Atlas so much, I'm leaving my very first iTunes review ever. My entire family has come to regard the podcasters as almost extended family. Nearly every day, someone or another can be heard beginning a sentence with, Stephanie and Jeremy said. Finding this great podcast about RVers so much like us. We have three boys. They have four. Oh, no. Wait, strike that. They have three boys.
I was going to say, oh, my God, I have neglected this fourth child.
Oh, yeah, no idea who he is. They're both teachers. My husband teaches high school and I homeschool our kids. Has pushed us over the edge from endlessly debating and changing our minds about buying an RV to actually shopping for one. Even though all the talk of campground culture and chatting with the neighbors strikes fear in my introverted heart. Time will tell whether we should say we credit them or blame them
Don't be afraid.
But for now, we look forward every week to hearing about their adventures and dreaming about having our own someday soon.
This confirms again and again that a lot of people are finding the podcast because they're thinking about buying an RV.
Mm-hmm.
And we have said over and over again, we love being helpful.
Yeah.
If we are, and I think we are, we love being helpful to the person considering the first purchase because frankly, we think this is a very mysterious process.
Right.
Okay. And there's not enough education and information out there for the first time buyer. So we're happy to kind of fill that void a little bit.
Yeah. And my favorite part of this review, do you know what it is?
No.
Can you take a guess?
Tell me.
Okay. She says, all of the talk about campground culture and chatting with neighbors strikes fear in the heart of
her.
Well,
if you have an RV, you can go inside.
No. And that is what you overplay that because you love it. And for me, I totally get where she's coming from. Like last week on last week's episode, you said something about like, oh, I was talking about community areas. Now, of course, me, I was talking about having community areas at the campground so that I could go and like sit quietly and enjoy the setting. And you were like, yeah, make those community areas so we can meet other
people. Look, if you're a bit introverted, it's not like everyone at the campground is going to walk up into your face and like offer you a marshmallow. Okay. I mean, that's not going to happen. So you can send signals like, okay, yeah. Say you have the novel open in your lap or something. People are going to, okay, they're reading.
Right.
So maybe you just want to pretend you're reading. You don't want to meet people.
Right.
But once you sort of step off your immediate sight, it's fair game. We might come talk to you, Boxy Colonial.
You say that a lot. You're always talking about meeting people. There's people that don't already be there. Probably like, oh my gosh, this sounds exhausting. And I get that because I'm a little...
I don't think it has to be, though.
I'm an introverted soul. I need my big time amounts of alone time.
We've also said this on the show. If you are a bit more introverted and it's more about peace and quiet and relaxation, mm-hmm. you might be a state park camper.
Yeah.
You might want to have one of those state park sites. It's a huge site and there's not mm-hmm. going to be anybody around.
Yeah.
Where if you're a private campground
right.
person, a commercially owned campground person, the sites are closer together
yeah.
and it does push you into more social
yes,
behavior.
So more of the
Boxy Colonial, we would encourage you okay, to be social, but it doesn't have to happen.
But not required. Unless you're camping near us, then you have to be social.
That's right.
Jeremy needs it. All right.
If you come to our rally, we're going to talk to you.
All right. I think that's about it. I think that's about wrapping it up.
That's a bit
right?
about it. So we'll be back in a second with a message from our friends over at Go RVing. Now it's time for a sponsored message from our friends over at Go RVing.
Away is a place that's easy to find and a feeling that's impossible to forget.
If you would like to see firsthand what it's like to find your Away and tour some of the latest RV models, you can find the Go RVing team at an event near you.
They will be at the Iowa State Fair in Des Moines on August 15th and 16th.
They will also be at the Wild Georgia Shrimp Festival on Jekyll Island on September 19th and 20th.
Or you can visit them at the Country Living Fair in Columbus, Ohio on September 18th, 19th, and 20th, or the Country Living Fair in Atlanta, Georgia on October 23rd, 24th, and 25th.
To see the full list of upcoming Go RVing events, head on over to GoRVing.com/RVFTA and click on the Where to Find tab, then click on Where is Go RVing?
Find your Away. Go RVing.
Now, I have not had the great pleasure of attending a Go RVing event, but Stephanie has.
I was at the Country Living Fair a couple months ago.
In New York State, mm-hmm. right? In Rhinebeck?
Yeah, yeah.
And you had a good old time.
Well, yeah, the girl campers were there. Go RVing was there. It was like a little party down at the one section of the Country Living Fair.
Oh, there's like a Q&A with the girl mm-hmm. campers at
yep.
that one. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to tour an RV if you wanted to.
Yep. You go inside. You could look around. They had like a table outside with some people that could answer your questions and just talk to you.
If you don't own an RV but you're interested, this is a great opportunity to walk through one and ask some mm-hmm. questions in a no-pressure environment.
Yes. Nobody's
right?
going to try to sell you.
Not selling you the RV.
That
right?
RV.
They need to take it back with them.
Okay? Yeah, they have to bring it back to the, like, whatever yeah. dealership
now,
they got it
the
from.
The Wild Georgia Shrimp Festival,
I
like, I can taste the shrimp.
We
both want to go to Jekyll Island.
Mm-hmm.
So that
Jekyll
we would
Island
totally go to that if we could.
Looks so beautiful. I see pictures of it, and I'm just always like, I want to go there.
We will go there. And there's mm-hmm. a Jekyll Island campground.
Okay.
So I don't know how close it is to the fairgrounds, mm-hmm. but you might check that out as a place to, like, go camp for the weekend and go check out the Wild Shrimp Festival.
Yeah. If you are anywhere near the Wild Shrimp Festival, then you should be going to the Wild Shrimp Festival. That's my opinion.
How wild do you think the shrimp are?
They're crazy. I hear
they're
do line
shrimp
dances. And
oh my gosh, that sounds like so much fun. All right, we'll be back in a second with our featured topic, Fancy Camping with Kate Dunbar. So we're going to bring on Kate Dunbar from Kate's Curious Kitchen in just a second. We wanted to chat about a few things first,
mm-hmm.
right? So what are some of the things we're going to talk about with Kate in terms of fancy camping or glamping?
Yeah. So there's a lot of ways that people sort of glamp up their camping experience. And we broke it down, or I kind of think about it in three different ways. Now, I'm going to clarify by saying we are not fancy campers. We are not.
You know, honestly, if we didn't have the kids around, I think we would ratchet it up a notch. Mm-hmm. So much respect to anyone who fancy camps with kids. But, you know, Wesley would tear apart that fancy camp and stuff.
Yeah.
He would.
Yeah, and it's just honestly, my house has simplified a lot since we had kids. Like, I just, like, feel like I'm waiting for the next 8 years to buy anything nice. So bringing that into the RV, honestly, for me is, like, more work, whereas I really...
Work and maybe worry.
Yeah, I really take the opportunity when we travel to go as simple as possible. But it's out there, and people love it. So this is an important episode to do. We were like, we want to talk about it, even if we're not necessarily experts on it.
Yeah, and we are not, like, clearly, we're not, like, scornful of people who like to glamp it up and camp fancy. In fact, like, I would kind of like to do it more. You
but
know?
You'll just see, if you see our pictures of our campsite, you'll see pretty simple, basic equipment and everything. Other people, we love looking at campsites.
Except our zero gravity chairs.
Well, honey, yeah, but even that's very simple. That's not like the papasans with the
but
cushions.
But I like
and
when
everything.
People bring style to the campground. I really do. I'm not like, oh, we have, you know, you have to keep it simple when you're camping because you're outside. No, I mean, if that's what's fun for you, go for it. Yeah. And in fact, when I walk around campgrounds and I see somebody who's got a site that's sort of glamped up, I want to take a picture of
course
it,
you know,
and chat with them about it.
So there's three main sort of areas that people tend to fancy up their camping, okay? And the first is just the trailer itself, trailer modifications. This is very popular now. People are treating their trailers more like their homes and doing DIY projects. So, for example, people are doing backsplash, you know, replacements.
Right.
People are reupholstering. Everybody knows that the upholstery that comes on the travel trailers is abhorrent. Like
it's so limited, and a lot of the companies use the same, you know, the same stuff.
It's painful when you're showing me the options, like what I had to choose from. I wanted to cry.
Well, and it is amazing too that it doesn't matter what manufacturer you're looking at. A lot of them use the same prints and patterns.
So people are replacing their upholstery. They're doing the backsplash. They might be doing different floors, you know, things like that.
Depending on how much they're restoring or if they have something new.
But you know,
new.
A lot of people are just putting up hardware on
now this,
cabinets.
This also speaks to the fact that maybe the RV industry is just not putting out products that everybody loves. I mean, I'm sure most people are totally fine with what they're putting out there, but there's certainly a segment of the marketplace that's unhappy with the design.
Yeah, I think that stylistically, they need to pick up the pace.
Yeah, I mean, if people are buying new RVs and tearing out the backsplash and reupholstering the furniture, well, there's a lesson to be learned there, I think.
So that's the trailer itself, and people are making, I think people of our generation and younger that are making these purchases are doing a lot of that because we want our things to look like us. We've talked about that before. All right. So then there's also just the decor. Now, if you look around at a campground, you'll notice people have nicer tablecloths. People have nicer camp chairs. You'll notice little lanterns in the middle of the picnic tables and just things that are a little more stylistic as opposed to functional. So people are really dressing up the decor in their trailers. So that's, the trailer, there's decor, and then there's food. Okay. Now we're moving away from just the paper plates and everything.
And burgers and hot dogs.
Yeah. We're looking at dishes, stemware, things like that. People are taking a little up a notch. And then also, people are looking at camp food differently. They're not just producing like the grub, right? Camp grub. Weenies on a stick.
Well, if you're a foodie and you love to cook, why wouldn't you bring that into your RVing? Mm-hmm. I mean, why all of a sudden, because you're on vacation in an RV, do you have to go to burgers and dogs if that's just not what you're into, right? I mean, you have a full kitchen in your RV, most people. Why not use it?
Yeah, and I think that also equipment, other outdoor cooking equipment, has become more affordable and accessible to people. Smokers, right? You see them on the campgrounds. So people that love their barbecue, you know what? It's not so out of reach to get a smoker and to carry it around.
And the thing is, you're not at home working all day and busy, and maybe you don't have the time to put together a glorious meal. Maybe, you know, like a lot of these foodies who go RVing are like, man, I've got the whole day to kind of mess around and really make something awesome.
Yeah. So I really love what I see out there. Like I said, we don't really emulate it a lot, but there are some things that I've become obsessed with. Like I'm on the
hunt. We aspire.
I'm on the hunt for a cloth. Like tablecloth. I had getting the rid of
You're
like
You're sick of
that.
Those cheap plastic ones that we buy at Target.
And I want a really nice cloth one that I love and that I'll be happy to put out on the table every time we set up. A couple of other things that I've seen, they're adorable. Some reclaimed stuff that's out there. One of the girl campers has an ironing board.
That's like a side
table.
That's an
old ironing board that she sets up outside of her camper as a side table. And
it's adorable.
Just things like that are just so cute.
Nice touches,
like,
yeah.
Oh, to have a little table out there. And a table is functional, but it also just puts that spin on it that makes you happy.
We put up a photo of that on Instagram, and mm-hmm. a bunch of people commented and said, oh, I'm going to go get one of those, right? Now, we also want to talk campsites a little bit. Mm-hmm. Okay, so we're not going to really get into that with Kate, but we have stayed on so-called deluxe sites recently, right, in a couple different locations. Last summer, we did at the Lincoln Woodstock KOA, and this summer, we did at the Townsend KOA. So mm-hmm. I personally loved staying on those deluxe sites, and largely, I loved the pavers, mm-hmm. and I loved the really attractive fire pits, mm-hmm. the stone fire pits. It just did elevate the experience to me, and at the Townsend KOA, I was kind of like, yeah, I think this is for me. I think I like these types of sites, you know?
Now, the Lincoln Woodstock KOA, they had the big grills.
Weber grill.
Which I love then. Now I don't know if I'd care as much about because now I have my new grill and I don't hate my RV grill.
But that one also
so
had a wood swing. Oh,
yeah,
and
the swings are nice.
The fire pit and the pavers around the fire pit could probably seat 10 people.
Yeah.
You know, so if you are on a big trip with a couple families and you want a place where everyone can gather around a gorgeous mm-hmm. fire pit, that was a really nice
site. Some of them
have
Adirondack chairs.
That's right.
And nicer patio furniture.
So my question for you, mm-hmm. girlfriend, is do you think this is a trend? Do you think this is going to keep expanding? Do you think we're going to see more and more of these upscale sites? Do you think maybe people will rebel against it and say, hey, this isn't camping? You know, where is this going, this whole deluxe site thing?
Mm-hmm. I do not think this is a trend.
Nor do I.
I think that this is an option that's here to stay, and I think it's going to be embraced. Now, there is a downside to these sites. And we had this experience, I think it was a little over a year ago or so. We were looking for just a place to stop off overnight as we were driving through. And we called up a campground that's right off the road. And we were like, oh, do you have anything available
for us? They only had the deluxe.
Yeah. Everything else was filled up. And I think that sometimes that might happen at campgrounds where the people who are more on a budget option are like, okay, no, I'm not going to spend $80 on this site. But now we wanted a place to just pull in for
the night.
Yeah,
we had no interest in a deluxe site. We weren't going
to
enjoy
pay for that deluxe site, it was killer for us because we didn't want to pay that money when we were just going to leave.
It just felt like an extra $25, $30 for nothing.
Yeah, it's going to put a little bit of a crimp in like reservations and everything sometimes, I think, for some people. There's going to crop – like issues are going to crop up like that. But that is a small point, I think. I just wanted to bring that to the table. On the flip side of that, I do think it's here to stay, and I think in general it's going to be something that's embraced by people because we've talked about this over and over on the show. RVing has become a way of family vacationing.
Sure.
It's not just the concept of
camping. It's not about the
camping.
Backwoods experience.
Right. So you figure families that like hotel rooms with a little extra splash, like the suite, or something like that. It's going to be the same thing. This is our family vacation. We want to spend a little bit more to be super comfortable.
Yeah, and if it is a treat for your 7-day family vacation and you're spending an extra $20 a night, mm-hmm. you know, $140, I think a lot of families will be willing to make that splurge
just
for the
like,
Weber grill and the fire pit and all that
and
stuff.
And the swing. Just like you make that splurge for the water view. Maybe at a hotel.
Sure.
I was thinking about when we stayed at Moorings, which we loved up in Maine.
The oceanfront site.
Shockingly beautiful sites. Yeah. Now they were not like pavers and blah,
no,
blah, blah.
No, it was a pretty basic site. It was water electric.
But I recall when we were posting a picture and somebody had mentioned like, too bad they're so expensive there. And
I didn't think they were.
And I was like, whoa. They're not. When you think about the fact that if a family was vacationing in a hotel room with this view,
they're paying more than the people across the street.
Triple of what we were paying.
Well, any campground that is on waterfront property, mm-hmm. the owners must constantly face the temptation of selling it to someone who wants to put a hotel or condos there.
Right.
So you put me waterfront, I'll pay you extra.
Yeah, and I just think that those these fancy camping sites, right, these deluxe sites, I think they bring that to the table. They give people the opportunity to feel like they're doing a little something special with their vacation, and it's a splurge.
I also think the RV industry has gone a bit more upscale in terms of rigs, and you're seeing nicer and nicer rigs, and the campground industry is just keeping up with that, right?
Yeah.
So listen, we'll be back in a second to talk about all kinds of cool stuff with Kate Dunbar from Kate's Curious Kitchen. We'll be talking fancy camping, and boy, did we love chatting with Kate.
Welcome back, everyone. We are incredibly excited to be here with Kate Dunbar, the creator of Kate's Curious Kitchen. She's coming at us from Ventura, California, and we are very excited to have you. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Kate.
Thank you so much. Hello. This is such an honor. I love this.
All right. Well, it's an honor for us, too, because you are one of our favorite Instagrammers.
Yeah, that's right. And
thank you. So are you.
Kate's multi-talented, and Kate owns multi-RVs.
Yeah, you got a lot going on.
She's got a lot going on. I mean, usually when we have a guest on the show, we do like have them do a campground review or something, but we're going to talk to you about a whole bunch of stuff.
I know. It's fun. It's like, you know, I'm one of those little pegboards.
Yeah.
What does she do here? What does she do there? Okay, we got a pin here and another pin here, and this is great.
That's right. And that's why you were the person that came to mind when I had a lot of questions about fancy camping. I thought there is one person.
AKA glamping. What are you going to call it?
Right.
Kate?
Yeah. What do you like?
I definitely approve of glamping. I do.
Loud and proud. That's fine with us.
I'm proud of it, but I don't bring a chef. I am the chef, so it works for my family.
You go.
Hey,
you go.
It would work for me too, Kate. Now, I got to be honest with you.
You are my hero because you own not one, but two RVs.
Yes.
So why don't we get started by talking about those two RVs? What do you got in your driveway?
All right. Well, in the driveway right now that I'm sitting in is my 1962 Shasta SC, and I love her. Her name is Ellie, and after the character from the movie Up, just because I love, she's full of adventure. You never know what she's going to do. She's, you know, just, she's a crazy cute little kid, and that's how everybody remembers her from mm-hmm. that movie, and just the endearing wife. So that's why she is Ellie.
And you're sitting in her right now.
I am. I'm sitting in her because I'm cleaning her and getting her ready for a trailer show to go to. So it's the perfect setting to talk to you about glamping and trailers, and it's just perfect.
So a lot of good mojo going for
there
you.
Is, right there now. Is, you know, and so that's trailer number one that's actually in my driveway. Trailer number two that can't fit in my driveway.
Oh, we've had that problem.
We could put it sideways. We could put it diagonally. I'm like, no, we can't.
Yeah.
Front lawn.
My husband once suggested that we might park it across the front of the house.
Okay, wait. My husband had that too. He actually was measuring the length of the yard behind our fence and baby, it'll work. We can just back it in this way. I'm like, I am not putting a 30-foot trailer in my front yard.
That's right. No.
That's not happening. That's not glamping. That's bad.
The opposite of.
Now, does the Airstream get a little jealous of the Shasta that gets to sit in the driveway?
I don't think so. No. Okay. I don't think that Airstreams get jealous of anything.
Good point.
I think that everything gets jealous of an Airstream.
Top of the food chain.
Top of the food chain.
Confident and cocky.
Yeah. It's totally glamping.
All right. So what kind of Airstream do you have?
I have a 2014 30-foot Flying Cloud bunkhouse. So I sleep 9 people in my trailer. I have a full shower, full toilet, and can have hair blow dryers and curling irons and my air conditioning going at the same time.
It's a workhorse.
Oh, yeah.
Now, it sounds like it's a workhorse for the ladies, if the ladies are into it.
Oh, my God, I love her. She's totally different than our vintage trailer. There's a different feel to it. They're totally decorated differently, and I have to say, it's kind of a pat on my back. We drive a Suburban because we've got a lot of kids.
I was just going to ask you what you were driving.
We pulled it with a Suburban, with a new one, because it's Suburban. Something with Chevy and Airstream, they've worked really, really well lately together, and you can rent now Airstreams and Chevy Tahoes that pull them. So at your local Airstream dealership, had I have known this, we might have gone that route versus purchasing one.
Oh, sure. Sure you would have. Don't go acting all responsible with us.
I know.
We know you better than that.
It's true. Yeah, it's not going to happen, but it sounds good.
I'm jealous of your Suburban. True story. Yeah. I fell in love with Stephanie when I saw her parallel park, her parents' Suburban. In Manhattan.
Yeah, I did. I took my driving test in a Suburban and one of the old ones, you know.
You
were beasts.
Yeah, you have a crown of glory. I am an amazing woman just for that fact. I am the great parallel parker in my family too, and I'm the one who gets it's strange. I don't get this. But whenever we're driving the Airstream, if I'm behind the wheel driving it and a woman happens to be a passenger in a car passing us, her jaw just drops open like, I don't know if it's, oh my gosh, is your husband torturing you by you
no,
having
no,
to
no, 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 no. It's, oh my gosh, I want to be you. I want to be you, girl.
There's a little bit of that too. And then, you know, whenever you pass, you know, a truck driver or something like that, and they smile. They're like, check you out. Way to go. Fantastic.
Now, how do you decide which of the RVs to take out when you're heading out on a camping trip? What's the calculation there?
The calculation is usually one is the facility that we're going to be staying at, you know, the RV park or whatever. Do they have a really great area to bring a 30-foot trailer into? Mm-hmm. If they do, and we know that we're doing some time there, we'll pick that trailer because there's more room, it's more comfortable, our kids all have space, our dogs can stay in there too. So there's that. But if it's the quick little like 2-day trips, or because I live in Ventura, we're right on the coast and you can park right along the coast and camp, but there's so many really large motor homes that show up that trying to parallel park backward, you know, bringing in a 30-foot trailer, unless if you're there on a Tuesday, gets a little difficult. But if you have a 16-foot trailer, it's really simple. Mm-hmm. It's not that tough. And if I have to take the kids home to get showers or more food, it's literally 10 minutes away from my house.
Nice. When you pull in with the vintage camper, doesn't everyone just kind of move out of your way, though, and just kind of clear out some of the spots for you?
There's a lot of people who, like, stand up and watch, and they want to see you back it up more than the 30-foot. It's like, cause they're guarded of, you know, the rear end and your blind spots to make certain that you don't dent it, that you don't hurt it.
I'd have my camera out before you were parked.
It is. I mean, you know, you drive down the road with wings and, you know, it's one of those time capsules that I'm only 40. So I'm of the younger crowd that has started finding the vintage trailers because they are a piece of history. I remember it from my grandfather. He always had trailers. Us grandkids grew up knowing how to, I mean, and if you want to talk about it, we all knew how to set up the septic, you know, we all knew what those hoses were and how to work it and how to run it. And we knew how to rotate food in the refrigerators and in the ice chests. We knew how to keep everything clean. And it's second nature. And to now have the opportunity, it's fantastic.
So is it partly a shout out to your family tradition there to kind of keep that alive?
I would say it's really a shout out to my grandfather who spent the time with us kids learning the craft of taking your family out of the house, out of a hotel, not on an airplane, and seeing where you're going. Even if it's just 30 minutes away or around the corner at the beach, it's just that different perspective. It's that different time to get out and get away and hopefully unplug and not have so much of the internet or the TVs or the DVD players going while you're at that activity.
That's awesome. And so you're passing that on to your kids as well.
Yeah,
that's a beautiful thing.
That is a really, because we've said a million times, I mean, you're a podcast listener, you know our story.
Yeah.
That was not necessarily a part of our history. And it means a lot to us to make it a part of our kids' history. And we just kind of like fingers crossed hope that they end up feeling the same way about it that you feel about it and that you just said in that story.
It's true. And I would say to any family that has any form of camping that they want to do, whether it's tent or car or van or trailer or renting a cabin, renting a trailer, wherever places are, make certain that you and whoever you go with, you make certain that those kids have designated jobs so that they feel that they're a part. Like when we pull up to a campsite, my daughter knows that she's in charge of the wheel chocks. That's like her thing. That's her job. My son knows that he's on wheel cover duty. And
we are pumping our fists in the air right now.
This is a big deal for us. It took us a little while to realize that. I think that anybody that's new to something, it takes you a while to figure it out. And
then
we were like,
scary thing.
Wait a minute.
Really
and we started with our kids when they were 11 months old. So obviously
oh my God. Yeah.
Their job was don't move. Like,
don't come near the camp. Don't come near the RV.
Stay still for crying all night.
Yeah, put up the pack and play and stay there.
The last couple of years, we've been really working hard at introducing jobs. And I know, like, we talked about that on our packing episode. It seems silly.
Well, it's transformative. It really is. It has made a huge difference.
So that's really good to hear from you and to know. I think that that's fantastic advice.
It is. It is. I would say probably one of the great glamping family little checklist things that I learned was that everybody has a designated bag for camping. We don't use regular suitcases in and out. Everybody has a camping duffel bag where they pack their clothes in, and there you go. But what we do is on a big post-it note, we write down how many pairs of shorts, how many socks, how many everything that gets listed out, and that post-it note goes into that bag. So the kids are responsible when it's like the mom and dad cleanup time of the campsite, which is the most frantic 4 hours you do. It's crazy.
We've got it down to 3.5.
Don't brag.
Teach me, please. But it's giving the kids their responsibility of knowing what a checklist is when you go camping, because it is serious stuff. You have to know what you're doing, what you bring in, what you bring out.
Right.
And that. So that was something I learned from a glamper that we stayed next to at, like, up at a lake not too far from us. So she totally helped. She saw me struggling with the kids for a minute. She's like, oh, go do this. I'm like, oh, thank you.
Good.
You've just saved. Fantastic stuff. I'm glad you took us down that little road there. Stephanie wanted to talk decor.
Well, okay. Mm. Well, the reason why, right, the reason why you're on right now is because, you know, if you've been listening, we are not fancy glamping campers.
You are the streamlined, get-it-done campers. And you, yes. I envy you for being able to. I couldn't pull that together if I wanted to.
No, I'm very. And it's not because I don't appreciate, right, the decor, because I really do. In fact, I consider myself like, I mean, I have style. I definitely have a style in my home. It's
I would call you definitely a modern glamper.
Yeah,
I really
right. I have more of a modern, simple, very streamlined style to me. But I
have
to be honest.
But then she's got 4 boys who like to tear things
to
pieces.
That's my problem, is that I feel like I'm fighting an uphill battle. But I do appreciate the touches that I see, especially now that I've been hanging out with some sisters on the fly.
Oh, let me tell you,
you know what? It's really nice, right, to be in that environment and have those little touches, the lights, the everything. So I thought, okay, we don't have them. We can't recommend them to other people, but you do. And I bet you're going to give great just tips for the people that are kind of like me that would like to introduce a little bit of style to the campground.
The easiest 3 glamping things to introduce.
Get rid of the husband and the kids.
No, she's family.
No, you're traveling with the family too.
All right, go ahead.
3 glamping things, always awning lights. Yes. Your trailer awning needs to be decorated. Amen. I don't care if you go to the 99-cent store at Christmas time and pick up a couple extra reams of Christmas lights, or if you do what I did with our Airstream and you go get chandelier lights.
Chandelier lights. I love it.
I know.
Now, is there a picture of those chandelier lights on your Instagram feed anywhere?
If there aren't, there will be tonight.
Okay,
so
and hashtag us.
And I'll hashtag,
because
absolutely.
Then, well, okay, but I have to see that.
We'll share that.
Yeah, they're mini chandeliers. They're LED lights. They clip right on, and it's fantastic. So that's on the Airstream, the glamping one. Okay. The vintage trailer that I have, we're redesigning it right now into vintage old 1960s Hawaii. So on that, it's so much fun because I'm able to pull some of my grandmother's vintage Hawaiian decor that she had.
Okay.
So it's totally repurposing, reusing, which is a part of glamping in a way, but you got to have a lot of style. It's not you go to a tag sale and you put doilies out. That's not glamping. Mm-hmm. Glamping is spending money, dressing your camper and presenting it. And, you know, good meals, good wine or good cocktails, and a really comfortable bed.
Okay, so that's 3 things do I need?
You need the lights. You need a really great wine opener.
Okay.
Always. Always. It's because it's a multi-purpose tool. You have the little hook knife on the end, which you can cut cords if you need to. You can cut duct tape. If you're like me, I cannot tear duct tape. I don't know what it is about me, but it's my handicap. So that little knife at the end of it is perfect. And if you find a corkscrew, the corkscrew part that has 5 full turns on it, you will always be able to pull out your cork without the little chip pieces or without it breaking.
Okay, that's 5 full turns.
5 full turns. You heard it here first, people.
Circle turns. You
on
want
RVFTA,
that.
Okay, so that's 2.
I'm
going to
be counting.
What's number 3?
Sparkle pillowcases.
Yes, yes. I know, but they all have pillowcases. I knew that.
I have a custom pillow with our trailer on it, our name on it. I have sequins ones all over our bed in the nook area. My husband...
I don't know. See, Kate,
poor man.
I don't know if I'm going to be able to go there.
Let me know. Hang on a second.
Because...
I want to say this. Oh,
okay.
I want to say this
right
now.
Go ahead.
I'm on board for all 3 of these things.
Wait. Okay.
Oh!
In our house right now, I have pillows that I really, really like on my couches. And do you know where those pillows spend most of their time?
Is it on the floor?
Oh, my good sweet Lord, yes.
Yeah,
all the time. I walk around my house going, why are the pillows on the floor?
It sounds ridiculous. A sequins pillow or those beautiful pillows, but that's your pop. That's your color. That's your statement of what your coach is.
Yeah.
What it's all about. Mine, I have anywhere from silver to pewter colors because I'm mimicking the aluminum that's all over there. So I have that. I wouldn't dream of putting a sequins pillow in my Hawaiian one at this point.
Right.
But if I find one, you bet it's going to come in here.
Oh, okay. All right. So, and we need
now,
some
is an Airstream necessary if you're going to go do these 3 things?
No,
do you have to have
we can do all 3 of these things. It's not going to look as nice as an Airstream. We know that.
You know what some of the fun things are? Say that you have an older travel trailer or an older motorhome. The number one thing to do, go put a different backsplash on there.
Yes.
Go to your local home improvement store and go find a backsplash, say a metal tile one or something. Start there, because if you can put a pop behind the area where you're going to be making your food, staging your food, and spending a good amount of time if you cook indoors, you really want to feel welcome there, and you want it to start expressing who you are. And that was something that I learned from a couple of the sisters on the fly. Get that backsplash done. Do not keep the one that comes with your trailer.
Oh, because they're a nightmare.
Thing.
Yeah,
they're horrible.
Really,
they're so tacky.
Mm-hmm.
They're just tacky.
They are, and that was one of the things when we were first looking at trailers. I was like,
"You never like the backsplashes."
Oh,
every time, I don't like that.
But you know what? At a certain point, I just threw my hands in the air and I said, "I'm not even looking at it anymore."
Right.
Because none of them are good. It's not going to find one.
It's like change the backsplash and change the handles. Do that first. It's really
inexpensive. You mean on the cabinets and everything?
All the poles, everything. Because I'm looking at my vintage trailer and I have vintage handles on mine, but on my Airstream. No, wait. No, they're hinges. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Wait, I have to switch gears and go back and forth.
No, that's a great idea that honestly would not even occur to me to change out
those
the poles.
Those are the 2 things.
But that makes a lot of difference.
Yeah.
Okay, so I love that. I love backsplash and poles for inside the trailer.
Change out the curtains, you know, really sit there and figure out. And if you don't know what type of a color scheme you're going to go with or what you want to do, go get some of the fabric that happens to be the linen hand towels. It's come back in style again. It's really inexpensive. Mm-hmm. Some of them have different colored piping on the side. Some of them are completely white.
Yeah.
And if you don't know what I'm talking about, a long time ago in the early 80s, mm-hmm. God, it was forever ago, in restrooms at restaurants, there used to be that cloth towel that you would dry your hands off with. That's the material. And it has really come back in style. And that's a great way. You can have your dish towel that matches your curtains, that matches, say, the napkins that you're using for your table settings. You can get it so long so you can make a table runner at your RV, you know, campsite. So you start to tie in the little things.
Okay, so get a full feel no matter where you are. You sort of establish like a general style feel to your campsite.
Well, and all those things sound really pretty immensely doable. There's nothing there that sounds overly expensive or overly difficult.
Yeah.
able to do.
No, I mean, you could honestly spend $50 and you can really redo and repurpose some things. You just, it's kind of that taking a step back and looking at it a different way.
Okay.
Okay. I want, you know, I want my color to be the accent here and I want the color to, you know, the style to be the accent here. Well, strip everything out, make it white, and then add in your color and figure out where you're going
to
go.
Okay. I love it, Kate. Now we need to move on to what is really your area of expertise, which obviously you have a lot of areas of expertise, but this one is where you really spend most of your time, and that's the food. Right.
Yes.
So a lot of times people rely on sort of those ideas of old camp staples to stock their RV kitchen.
Yes.
And we have talked a lot on this show about getting away from that and sort of realizing that a lot of things that you do at home, you can easily bring with you on the road. So you don't have to like cook everything in tinfoil or something like
exactly.
that. Exactly. But why don't you tell our listeners, what are some of your favorite items that are maybe a little bit out of the box to keep in your RV to just prepare really special, fancy food?
I always have a great cast iron Dutch oven set that comes with me. It's a staple. It goes, it's where it should be. And if no one knows how to cook out of those, probably one of the best blogs, his name is, it's called Mark's Black Pot.
Okay. And
Mark's Black Pot. MarksBlackPot.com. He's been one of the longest running Dutch oven bloggers, and you'll learn from him. It's basic and simple. But so that's my cookware tools. I do bring all clad. I have a very expensive all clad set. You know, they cost about $500 for 8 pieces. I know everybody's gasping right now, but
if you use nice pots and pans to cook, as soon as you don't have nice pots and pans, you almost feel like you can't do it.
You burn things.
Yeah.
You burn things so well. And I tried it. I tried the basic campware cookware. Mm-hmm. And for my level of cooking and for what I know men and women are bringing into the campsites, that cookware will not work.
Right.
That lightweight aluminum, please don't use it.
Mm-hmm.
Just don't use it. Get the cast iron, season it really well, or spend your money on some really good cookware, because it's just the same thing. If you're cooking over open flame, just take your dish soap, rub it around the outside of it. So
and look, if you're cooking in the camper, you're going to be saving money as opposed to eating out anyway. It doesn't take that many nice meals out at a restaurant.
It really doesn't.
That money back.
Yeah. And it's just, I prefer all clad. I prefer Cafalon. They come with me. They're oven safe up to like 450 degrees.
Right.
And that's the whole thing. That's the handle and everything. Mm-hmm. So just slam it into the oven. So cookware is really important. Those pots and pans. I always have a set of wooden spoons and spatulas because if it catches on fire, it's fine. I'm just going to burn it. It's not a problem. If it's plastic, it's going to melt. If it's metal, it's going to get really hot. And I do have kids.
Mm-hmm.
So I try and think if they're around me, I don't want them to get that hurt.
Okay.
They're going to get hurt, but I don't want them to get burned terribly.
Right. Okay. So you use wooden spoons like
me? I do.
Okay.
I do. I love them. I think they're great. The next thing I always have with me, and it's in a concentrate, is a brine, you know, for brining meat to get it juicy, to get it flavored. I don't believe in injection cooking, marinating, because why would you want to put a hole in a great piece of meat?
Right, where the juices are then going to run out.
Yeah, they're going to run out. You're breaking down everything, and try brining for a while. Get away from those needle injectors.
I did brine at Thanksgiving one year, and I think
it
was the best turkey I ever put.
Oh, it absolutely was.
It is. And here's the great thing. If you are bringing pork or chicken or turkey or even steaks, and I can tell you, you can brine red meat. It is totally acceptable. It's fine. It actually will help you with all the open flame cooking that you're going to be doing. You want to brine your meats at least 24 hours before you throw them on that grill, because you're guaranteeing that the inside is going to be flavored. It's not going to dry out as much. So if the outside gets charred and crispy because that fire got out of control, or because your propane stove inside gets too hot in the pan and you've completely ruined the outside, 99.9% of the time, the inside's going to be just perfect.
All right, so you still are eating steak for dinner.
Exactly. Nice. Exactly. I know if we're going for 4 days camping, I will have meat brining like in time in Ziploc bags, mm-hmm. in my cooler or in my ice chest, in wherever. And it's set where it knows it's happening. If we're staying longer, I will bring the brine in a concentrate and just dilute it down with water as I put product into it.
Okay.
And then I can just seal it up, throw it away.
Now,
it's
if
done.
You want to share with us a little a brining concentrate yeah. recipe, you can, and I will put it in the show notes. If that's not a Kate's Curious Kitchen trademark
secret. It's not. One of the easiest, most simple ones that you can do is a gallon of water, a half a cup of kosher salt, a half a cup of regular granulated salt, and I usually put 3 to 4 tablespoons of peppercorns, mm-hmm. about a tablespoon of rosemary, and about 6 star anise in. So when I'm at home in the prep time, I've put the water on the stove, heated it up, added the salt, added the sugar, added all the spices until they've all dissolved, the sugars and the salt have. And then I turn off the heat, and then the next morning then I ration it out into a container, into Ziploc bags.
Or into Ziploc bags where you can just put the meat. Okay.
And you
great.
Can even freeze it too.
Mm-hmm.
You can freeze it, and that will add to your cooling.
Oh,
in your ice chest, too. So you can think, it's going to be an ice block, but then it's going to thaw, and then I can use it on this day.
What a neat idea. All right. New things to try. Always new things to try. Thanks, Kate. All right. So, listen, you were just glamping with a lot of other ladies that were glamping.
I was glamping
recently.
With the queen bees of it. I really was. I'm a proud member of Sisters on the Fly. I am number 5267, and we are now up to almost member number 6700.
Right. I think our friend Janine Pettit, who we've had on, she's like a 500 something, I think. So she was like early on there. Everybody gets a number when they join Sisters on the Fly.
And you get a number. Yeah. You have a number on your Airstream too, right?
That you have to join the Wally Biome Club, which in July, here I am totally like being a spokesperson, in July is the big national rally for membership. So that's when we will be getting our number for our Airstream. So I'll have to get back to you and go, we're number
three. Oh, we'll have you back on the show just to reveal. Everyone's waiting now out there.
I get
in listener
red mode. Numbers on my Airstream. I'm right, so
tell us, what did
so
you
what
do
happened?
With the
yeah.
sisters? And tell us, did they behave?
Well, there's some sister secrecy that I must say. There are a certain number of patches that, we earn at very funny points in times, whether it's being brave and running naked in front of a bunch of women that you don't even know. And you do your little streaking thing to earn that
badge. Yeah.
Then you have your lemon drop badge, which is you have to know how to make a lemon drop martini, and it has to be perfect. And if it passes muster, then you can get that patch. And there's the cigar smoking, there's the fly fishing, there's the, you've had to change a flat tire, or you've helped a sister who's had a complete trailer malfunction, and you know how to bring things online and help out. Like, I was helping a bunch of sisters hook up and get out of where they had to go because it was time for them to leave. And there's so many of us who either do know how to hook up our trailers or don't.
And Kate, it's in your bloodstream from what you told us here. This is family tradition. This is genetic.
Yeah, it is. It is. I taught my husband what we do. But the sisters, that was hilarious. We had over 300 members in my hometown. My hometown was the end spot.
This was their Route 66 adventure, correct?
Yes. This was the big adventure. 2,448 miles and over. I can't even begin to tell you how many sisters joined up all along the way from Chicago to Ventura. But I do know, I believe the number was 37. They were called 37 All the Way Girls.
Okay.
So they came from wherever they lived in the United States. One of them even came from Australia and rented a motorhome and drove from Chicago to Ventura. So those
now
girls.
Now, where did you meet up with them?
I met up with them just outside of Ventura because I live here. So, and we were the hosting group.
Okay.
So pulled into line. I drove out a little ways and knew where the caravan was coming through and then fell into line with all of them and then came in to our big fairground that was here. And we took up the whole thing. And the sisters that put so much time and effort and energy into it, it's incredible. There were women that were driving trailers that were in their 80s.
Yeah.
Wow. I was on the youngest group of women, and there are women who've lost their husbands, lost their partners, been divorced, you know, are married, just looking for a group to feel comfortable with that they can just go see, can go see things and have adventures and have that sisterhood. And that's what it's about.
That's awesome. And what a perfect trip for the Sisters on the Fly.
Yeah.
A Route 66 adventure. It just seems like those two things go together nicely.
I met probably one of the most amazing, incredible women, and her name's Lisa Mora, and she's the editor for Vintage Caravan magazine. Well, our vintage trailers were, we call them sister trailers, because they were being redone at the same time at the exact same restoration shop. So we've been watching each other's trailers get, you know, their facelifts on them, and to actually spend some time with her. She's incredible, and her journey about Route 66 was amazing. She pulled it with a Hudson.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, I mean,
That's just too much style for one person, I think.
I don't think that's fair.
So tell us what's next for Kate. What are you up to this summer? Where are you traveling to? Where are you headed next?
I'm headed next in a few days to the Murphy Car Museum. They're having their big vintage trailer show, and the big cap is happening this weekend. So my trailer is in her very first show. So I'm kind of excited.
Very exciting.
Yeah. So she did the Route 66 adventure with the sisters, and now she's on to her first show. And then she will go away back to another restore to go get, I'm not staying traditional with her with the white paint sides and the Z stripe and then the color below. I'm actually polishing the aluminum above the Z stripe. So she's going to have that all polished out, and then she's going to have a new paint job, a new Z stripe, and everything done. So then the outside will be done, and I'm going to be one of those non-traditional vintage people of having a complete solar hookup on her.
Oh, good
so
she for have, you. That's awesome.
Yeah. So she's going to have solar panels on the roof, so it'll tend to the battery, and I'll be able to run the electrics in here that I need to do. You know, the water pump, and
we expect to see pictures.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
That's our favorite part.
Now, was there
I'm gonna lose her this summer, so she'll be gone for about two to 3 months, and then I'll get her back in the fall.
Now, you said something, is there a birthday party in your future as well?
There is. I have 7-year-old boy-girl twins, and they turn 8 next month. So we are going up to Flying Flag in Buellton, California, and that's where a huge vintage trailer show happens at the end of September. So we're going to go up there, and it's right near the town Solvang, and it's right near one of my favorite glamping places to go, which is in Los Olivos, which is wine country right near me.
We've been there, Kate.
Okay, Keith Saraluce is an amazing man. He's a great, happy, funny, terrific guy to hang out with. And his wine is incredible. And I love it. I absolutely love it. And so we'll be going there. And then we'll be going to the big ostrich farm where my kids can run, you know, hysterically crying that their parents forced them to feed ostriches.
Right.
It's a, you know, it's one of those parent things.
Yeah, just, sure. No, been a lot of years. I don't even want to tell you how many years it was ago that we were there, but we had one of the best dinners we've ever had at. I think it was Patrick's Cafe. I don't know.
There's slides too.
Is Patrick's Cafe still there?
You know what? I'll have to look.
It was an unbelievable meal, and he had the smoker going out back. Like, he was actually smoking meat in the back. It was
The best
phenomenal.
Part was I paid for everybody's dinner because I won a bunch of money playing poker at the Indian Reservation
awesome.
Casino there.
Good for you. Yeah, I did a quick little trip to Austin just last week, and I really did a good flirt with the smokehouse with the pit master back there, and he actually let me come back and see.
Oh, yeah? You worked your way back, huh?
Oh, I did. I worked it so hard. I said, please, you know, batted my eyes and did, you know, the California girl, sweet little talk and everything. And so he let me back there. And so I was in a 50-year-old smokehouse and watching the pit crew do what they do. Hands down, that was an incredible journey to see that.
What an adventurous life Kate Dunbar has. We're so glad we had you on the show tonight.
Thank you.
And we really, really hope to have you back. So you
can, I hope so too.
Absolutely. So you can find Kate at katescuriouskitchen.com. She's on Instagram. She's on Facebook. Anywhere else we can find you?
No, I think that's about it. Because if I had anything else, it'd make my husband even crazier. But no, just, you know, it's simple glamping thing, as we always say. Just make it pretty, make it your own, and make it spectacular.
All right, we'll work on it.
We'll end on that note. Thank you, Kate Dunbar.
Thank you.
Kate.
Thank you so much for listening to episode 48 of RVFTA Fancy Camping with Kate Dunbar. And she's a star, isn't she?
She's fancier
Let's just
than
say
we are.
It. She's way fancier than we are. I want to go camping with her.
I know. You want her to set up our site.
I want to see the air. I want to check out her Airstream and her vintage camper. Just a reminder to everyone, we are doing a fall rally. Okay, we announced it at the beginning of the show. So just a little reminder here. It's Friday, October 23rd, and Saturday, October 24th at the Philadelphia Westchester KOA. It's one of our favorite campgrounds in the region. The Brandywine River runs along the side of the campground, which makes it really lovely for kayaking and canoeing.
Plenty of pictures on our website.
It's a gorgeous area. There's a lot to do there. Longwood Gardens is 10 minutes away. Okay, you're going to want to go to Longwood if you've never been there before. And Winterthur, another DuPont property, 20 to half an hour max. Okay, so there's a great day trip in it for you Saturday. We're not planning one formally. We encourage people to go, and it's one of their Halloween-themed weekends, so the kids can bring their costumes, they can go trick-or-treating, there'll be live music, there'll be a band playing, live music and a band playing. That's a little redundant. There'll be live music playing by a band. Men in Machine, the Philadelphia Westchester KOA house band. We'd love to see you out there. Now, don't be shy. If you didn't come to our first rally, that doesn't mean you can't come to our second rally.
In fact, okay? We would love to meet you,
and I'll just say it one more time. We really were not able to reserve that many sites. So if you want to come, you need to get on it and book it now, or you could end up being disappointed, because these are sellout weekends at the campground, and there just were not that many sites available. So get on it now, book a site, send us an email, let us know that you're coming.
All right.
We'll see you next week.
Bye.